Can I hear amen? Can I hear hallelujah? Amen. We're in the house of God this morning. God has smiled upon us, rose us from our beds of slumber, given us a conscious mind to be equal with him by coming to the house of the Lord, to dwell in spiritual places, that as priests we may sing, pray, commune, give, and be taught the wonderful words of God. How blessed are we as the children of God. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Of course, I'm Brother Randall Hall, and I give thanks. I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand before you. This congregation is very blessed with the elders it has in place, Brother Jackson and Brother Burnside, and all of the wonderful sisters, and just the body of Christ itself working effectually at this location to be sure that the gospel goes out to the world. And that's what it's all about. Preach the word to every living creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John 3:16. Thank you, Lord, for that precious sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb, for our sins. This morning, this could be long and it could be short. But this morning, I'm going to break unto you the bread of life in which I studied. And you know, pardoning the word of God is a very, I take it very seriously. And when I'm charged with this duty, although it's months before, Brother Jackson is very thorough about getting things done, still, it consumes me almost. You know, you're at home, and the scripture says in Psalms, the first chapter, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So first, I got to check my hearing and where I am in my life as to how I'm walking before God. It says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And let me tell you, there's nothing more soothing than to be put in place in the body of Christ where you can wake up at night, roll over, grab your Bible, and say, oh yeah, that's what God said, throw it and put it back there, go to sleep. You know? And all through the day, just taking a circumspective look in God's word and being sure that you're walking upright and according to God's will and not your own. And you know, even in my life, God will take you where you are and bring you forth from there. Don't look at your neighbor when it comes to laying your life down for Christ. Look at it that you get the opportunity to work out your soul salvation. And then when you look in the mirror and you look into God's word, it reflects who you are. That you can get your life in order and know that you're walking according to God's word. It's nothing more beautiful than that. And so this morning, I've chosen a lesson from the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, the verses 1-4. And it's dealing with the unity in Christ. And I don't think this is going to turn out exactly like, I've heard it preached in many different ways. But I hope this morning, this lesson will reach you individually as to who you are in the body of Christ and how you conduct your life, especially in our home life. I looked in the world today, you know, I feel like Job sometimes, and I'm sure you've been there also, those who are really walking the Christian life, and you're out, and the scripture says, according to 1 John, all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We know that, right? And so when we're out about our daily lives in the cafeterias, in our schools, in our places of business, you get vexed with the conversation of the wicked. And we hear every day on our news about the murders going on, and all of the rapes, and all of the world derision. The scorning of the world going on. God said that was going to happen. And so I wonder if we get nothing else out of this lesson is to understand the unity that we find. That's in derision out there. They are divided. But we in Christ are one. And that's why I chose the book of Ephesians, because it deals with the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. Christ said, I would establish my church. He has died for his church. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, yes, out there, you see them being conquered all the time. You see them being pulled down all the time. Why? Because the gates of hell got them. But when it comes to the church, you understand that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's the beautiful thing, that we get a chance to work out our soul salvation in Christ. He died for his church. He purchased it with his blood. It's rock bottom, grounded and settled in heaven. And that's the beautiful thing about the word of God, the body of Christ. That's who we are. And so, Beloved.
What a title. And he's going to use children effectually in this lesson because we are the children of God. He speaks that's across the board. If you're added to the body of Christ, God is our Father, one God, one Father in heaven. And that's who he is, one Lord. Ephesians, what is that, 4:4? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, through you all, and in you all. And that's the God we serve that's in heaven. And Christ is on the throne, the right hand side of God, making intercession on our behalf to the Father. His empathy is with us because he came down in the flesh. He experienced like you experienced the temptations and the trials, attempted at every point, just like as you are in your daily life and daily struggles. But he overcame that. He overcame that and was without sin that he could show us the way to heaven, to redeem us from sin. And that little word sin simply means to transgress the word of God. And so we're not going to take a look at the world, and I'm not going to be talking about what the world is doing. I want to look at the body of Christ. And I want to feed the flock, the spiritual man that they need in order to maintain this race that we're on right now. This is a race we're on. And we need to be able to navigate, be able to secure ourselves in this race. And we need to be able to finish this race most of all. And so as I look at the word of God, which was read into our hearing this morning, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the verses 1-4, it says, children. And this is speaking to little children now. Now I'm talking about adolescents. Okay, if I wanted to speak, I go over to 5, if I want to talk to us as adults too, which it says in 5:1, be therefore followers of Christ as dear children. That's the effectual workings of the body of Christ being under God the Father. But when I go over to 6, speaking in a family way, it's speaking to the young also. And we have to understand, our young amongst us are not just inanimate objects that come with us. They have a voice in Christ. Sometimes I feel that's being overlooked because they come, they sit. Well, yeah, we talk, but they don't talk much back, do they? Then they go home, and then we come back, they sit. But it's nothing more effectual. That's why I praise your brother Burnside for setting up our Bible classes and being enthused to having our meetings for our Bible classes, Sister Davis and all of those who are the teachers who support those classes. Our young people need to be fed the word of God. Our little children need to know from the time they were born before they're born into this world. They need to hear you singing hymns when they're in the womb. And they need you to conduct yourself according to God's word in order that before they even conceived, that they're coming into a good home. That's important, and it can be done. But it says, little children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the face of the earth. And ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? No, it's straightforward. We can do that, can't we? Ephesians, just to get a look, because this body of Christ is so important for this book, and that's why I chose it. Believers in the body have been showered with God's kindness, according to Ephesians 1:3-8. You can read that in your spare time. They've been chosen for greatness, according to Ephesians 1:9-12. They've been marked with the Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual priesthood, a holy nation. It's a blessing, according to Ephesians 1:13-14. Filled with the spirit of power. That's why I like when he said to Timothy, he says, we have not received the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Thank you in the Lord. 1:15-23. Freed from sin's curse and bondage, according to Ephesians 2:1-10. Brought nearer to God, according to 2:11-18. Lesson found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. like to address that right now. In the Lord. Sometimes people get tripped up with that reading right there. In the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And it's speaking to the body of Christ because, let me set this up a little bit too, give you a little history on this. The Ephesians church did not always walk in Christ. Yeah, they're one of the churches in Revelations 2 and 1. It deals with their problems. But also when you go to the book of Acts, you see this is one of Paul's missionary journeys. It's being a apostle to the churches, And over there in 19, you see they were once carried away with dumb idols. Diana, the sex goddess. Remember, all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So that's a problem. And she's still alive and well today. That's something that they were caught up in, though. They were caught up in dumb idols. But once they heard the gospel of Christ, they obeyed. And they were added to the body of Christ. And so it's important that we understand adults as well as children amongst us in the body of Christ now. Ephesians, the second chapter, it says, we all walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now it's speaking universally of us as children of God. Each and every one of us can look at our past and say we were in sin once upon a time. And be thankful for the blood of Christ that has brought us out of that. But their expectations, God speaks unto the adults as well as to the children in the body of Christ. As God spoke in times past by the prophets to the Israelites in Exodus 20 and 12, this is the first commandment with a promise attached. God gives a promise, and he says if you do it, there's a promise attached to it. So God's going to bless you for what? Oh, children, obeying your parents in the Lord. Amen. To live in peace for generations in the promised land. The Israelites would need to respect authority and build strong families. Is that not what we're here for in our community? Teach our children? Is that why do we all wish that for our children? And children, do you wish that for yourselves? What I find is that our children are not as, you know, they sit there quiet and they're used to authoritarianism because that's the way the system is set up and that's what we've been exercised in. But God speaks to the children as well as he speaks to us. They're listening. They're learning. They can make decisions, conscious decisions, and are expected to make conscious decisions. So let's not treat them like inanimate objects in which they're just there to yay and nay. Let's understand. They're thinking, created vessels that God created. And he wants them in him and living according to his word. That they may what? Live long on the face of the earth. Amen. To live, and he said, to live in peace. And that's what we need now. Look at the world right now. I don't know any one of us, when we look at the newspapers and hear these disastrous things happening in the world, it's just ridiculous. To the point at which it spills over on us. And we come into the church, and that's all that comes out of our mouth. Instead of words of edification and what God says, oh, just look what happened on the TV this morning or yesterday. 10 people were killed. We all heard that. The technology is great. It told everybody that. We don't need to hear that in the house of the Lord. When we come here, we need to be conscious that we are in the body of Christ. This is the assembly of God. And that we need to speak more spiritual things. Yes, Satan comes to God's house too. Just don't let him come in you. And that's a fact. To live in peace for generations in the promised land. The Israelites would need to respect authority and build strong families. But what does it mean to honor parents? To honor parents? Partly it means speaking well of them and politely to them. Also acting in a way that shows respect. Well, that's part of it. Showing respect. The world could do that, tell you the truth. But yeah, that's what it means. Speaking politely to them, because there are those in this day and age, yeah, mom, yeah, dad, old man and old girl. What up, though? That's not politely. That's not polite. Running to the door in front of them, yeah, you know, old girl, she leaving us home. There's all kind of lingo. We know what the lingo of the world is. There's nothing new to us. We've all been there. It's easy to go back there, so I'm not going to harp on that too much. But our young people need to know that there's a way that they need to address the older body of Christ. And that is in respect. And God will bless you for that. It means following their teachings and examples of putting God first. And we're talking about in the Lord. Inclusive in the Lord doesn't mean out of the Lord. God speaking to those who are his followers. To follow what? Godly examples. As Abraham checked his household, we need to check our household. We need to see if we're walking according to God's law. It means following their teachings and examples of putting God first. And let me tell you, and you know, I'm not... I praise my family highly. My mother and my father are good Christian people. But even them, in the household, when you're that close to them, you see where they stumble. And the first thing a child is going to do in your home when they see you stumble is say, that hypocrite. I think we've been there before. I said that before up here. Why? Because they see where you're weak at. Our job as a Christian is to respect them at least enough to apologize. I'll get there in my lesson because it's going to be a fuller understanding when I'm finished with this. But you can't get away in your household. You can't get away from God. Christians, you cannot get away from God. You can't hide in your homes. You can't be one thing at church and another thing at home. You can't be here, one thing here and one thing there. A Christian is a Christian all the time, 24/7, as they say. It means following their teachings and their examples of putting God first. Parents have a special place in God's sight. Even those who find it difficult to get along with their parents are still commanded to honor them. Young people, yeah, you're growing. You don't understand everything the adults do. Sometimes they're authoritative to you. Sometimes they don't apologize for being wrong in their house. But you still need to honor them. You need to be polite with them. You need to follow the word of God. Choose to follow the word of God rather than the ways of the world. Choose to still show kindness and show them that you are, you understand the right way. And God will bless you. Even those who find, well, as I said, even those who find it difficult to get along are still commanded to honor them. We often are willing to observe customs merely for the sake of tradition. How much more should we obey God, God's word, because it is eternal? These things are, scripture says, you know, these things are fleeting. These ideologies and ideologies of men, these customs we follow that we come in, take off your shoes at the door. Some household, oh, you know what they do with their household? The Chinese do, or the Europeans do, or the Africans do. This is their customs, and we love to get caught up in their customs. You know what I mean? We're thrilled because it's an experience. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's not a sin, as long as it ain't transgressing God's word. But how much more, when God speaks, shall we obey him than the customs of men? Conscious decision to our young people. Especially when you go through our college. That's how you hit a lot of different customs when you hit college. And those who reach that level of maturity and they are be able to be introduced according, because they're considered as, you might say, mature enough to be able to conduct themselves right. And so they're invited into a lot of different homes. We should be doing that at a young age too, but even more so then you're on your own to go into homes. We consider their custom and say, well, I've experienced, you know. Bottom line is that we need to follow God's word. It says, let me see, Ephesians 3:6, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the face of the earth. You know, there's a time for everything on the face of the earth. Scripture says, all our days are passed in thy wrath. The Jews said, our days being 80 years and 10 of our reason strength 80. That's 80 years. Every 20 years, the score, and you're going to experience, you're going to feel a little different in this life. They said, sometimes you say, every time that O gets behind it, you're going to feel a little different. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes 12, it speaks, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. It says, remember the Creator in the days with Creator while you're young. A life without God can produce a bitter, lonely, and hopeless old age. Not that our young people are thinking about old age right now. But the realization is that without God in your youthful days, when you get old, you're going to get a little bitter. You know what I mean? It's not good to get old with it not knowing God, you know, when you could have had him and applied a little more spirituality to your life. And by the time you leave here, you'll be okay with God. Let me say, a life centered around God is fulfilling. It's fulfilling. We have the hope of eternal life. And that's what's in our heart, eternal life. If we can comprehend eternal life, to live forever with God. We're passing through here as pilgrims. Each one of us has to die. Some of our young people have died before our older people. Our older people have certainly got more years behind them than they got in front of them. Bottom line, God says, you're going to return to the dust which you were taken. And that's just a fact. Being young is exciting. To our youth, you're one of the most exciting stages of your life, being young. It's an exciting thing. Everything is fresh. But the excitement of youth can become a barrier to closeness with God if it makes young people focus on passing pleasures instead of eternal values. That's a mouthful. Eternal values. That's a learned thing. It's an apply. We were talking in our class this morning. Go get it. It's for you. God has so much for you. All you have to do is apply those spiritual principles to the problems of life. That's the unity that's found in Christ, not outside, because we know what's out there. They'd be flashing up here, bomb destruction, evil destruction, tax deduction, sin inspectors, bill collectors, we know. But in here, where the love is in the body of Christ, the values, spiritual values, is what really counts. Make your strength available to God when it is still yours. During your young, youthful years, don't waste it on evil or meaningless activities that become a habit and make you callous. A lot of times people get cut. Let me tell you something. Brain cells are still fried because of things we did in our earlier years. If you know what I mean, older church. So they still got fried brain cells. We think God done bought us back some of the way. I mean, put the keys down here, turn around. Oh, where are my keys at? Where are my keys at? All through the house. Why? And now they're released. This what do they call it? Cannabis now? Is that the name for it? Cannabis? Cannabis. Thank you. Cannabis. Marijuana. Just like alcohol is being released on the public now for you to have legally. Oh, that's all right. It's medical. Look at where the people are with alcohol, y'all. Killing people. Are you all those drunks on your corners, all them generations? Who wants that? Do we want that as the body of Christ? No! You can change that. In Christ, young people, if you spend your youth in what? Spiritual principles, you can change the destination of those who come after you. You have the power to do that. God has put it in the power of our youth to change the destination of the future. But that's if you what? Honor your parents. He said, in the Lord, which is right with God, that you may live long on the face of the earth. And he adds a blessing to that. Young people, my exhortation to you is to seek God now. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but seek God now. Ephesians 6 and 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Number one, there's not many fathers around, but we're speaking to the fathers in the church right now. And God can do a lot with few. He doesn't have to have many, but he can work with you. If our faith in Christ is real, it will usually prove itself at home in our relationships with those who know us best. That's where it's going to prove itself. Not out here where we on show, where I can look good and, hey, how you doing? It's going to prove itself at home. It's just that real, church. That's what the scripture says. Provoke not your children to wrath. Hypocrites, hypocrites. That's where you think they get that from. They're at home with you. They're watching everything you do, everything you say, everything comes out of your mouth. Your child is affectionately watching because that's dad and that's mom or that's uncle or that's stepmom. Whoever it is, we have a responsibility to them to bring godliness in their life and let them see it in us first. Not just point the finger, but let them see it in us. And Genesis 18 and 19 says, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." And God has promised for us a long, fruitful life on this earth and salvation, eternal life with Christ. Do we believe that? It will come out in your actions, not just in public, but at home with those who are closest to you. The purpose of parental discipline is to help children grow. Not to exasperate and provoke them to anger or discouragement, but to put heaven's priorities into daily practice, setting our minds on the things above, concentrating on the eternal rather than the temporal. Oh, we know how to break them down, don't we? I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. You know, we all heard that way. Even amongst so-called spiritual folks, you know, they break down to that level, that old devil level comes in there and he wants to tear up a household. Hey, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. We got to apologize for these things to our children. If they're going to learn to ask for forgiveness, if they're going to learn to apologize for their wrongs, they're going to have to see it in you. And if you don't know how to do it, they'll go around puffed up like you are. I'll knock them down. If these people, if they hit you, pop them first. Hit them down. Knock them down. We teach that readily. Who teaches forgiveness, kindness, charity, love? Psalms 18 and 4. "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the promise, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders of his word." You know, we have so much to give to our youth fathers and mothers, because I'm thinking of Timothy. When Paul wrote to Timothy, I remember thy mother Eunice and what is that, Lois and say that again? Thank you, sister. Because sisters have a great work to do in the household. It's generic, male as well as female, when it comes to the household of raising the house the way it should be raised. And look what it produces. Look at Timothy. God still loves us and is able to grant us all the things we need pertaining to the life of godliness. Why? Because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the sacrifice of his son, who came down and experienced everything that we're experiencing now. And the Father said over there in Matthew 17 chapter, "Here is my beloved son, who I am well pleased. Hear ye him." We have much to do, work on every hand, when it comes to the body of Christ. And this is a beautiful message, because we all walked according to the principle of power. We know what God can do in our lives. You ever reflect on how far you come? I forgot. Reflect. You know, it's like being born almost in Christ. When you mature in Christ, you come so far. You, like Paul said, I have to get those things that are behind me and press on to the things in front of me. We forget about how far God has brought us. And that's okay, because God is working in your life now to shape and mold you into vessels full of his glory. and how blessed we are as the body of Christ. Children, to obey your parents in the Lord, this is good in the sight of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise that ye may live long on the face of the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. When you rise up, when you lay down, when you go by the way, in word and in deed, all in the name of the Lord. I think I said just enough this morning. I hope to have edified you and made you reflect upon your families and who you are in your family. That it may be well with your soul. That we may gather those who have strayed because of our error. We error. And things are held against us, but God has granted us the space and the time to gather them back in. To be effectual towards them. Look, I can change, you can change. Come on back. It's not over. Long as you live in this time, God, we pray for that. Space and time. That they'll come back to the Lord. And they will what? Secure those souls against the day of judgment. There's nothing more beautiful than to see a young person come to the Lord and be saved and allow God to work it out with them, like we talked about this morning. You're not going to change overnight. But God works and washes away those sins and puts you in a place where you can just go for it. Go for the gusto of life in Christ Jesus. And live a fuller life, more productive life, and a long, healthy life. I've seen it in the church times over. If I started mentioning the brother's name, I wouldn't be fair. Because there's so many God has brought this far. But thanks be to our Lord and Savior's death, burial, and his resurrection. And now he stands ready to, on the right-hand side of God, to make intercession on behalf of us. So he says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. He says, believe. Lest you believe that I am what? He, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. You should all what? Likewise perish. Scripture, God wants you to repent of living a sinful life or living a life understanding that you're outside of Christ. He wants you to repent of that and come to Christ and be added to the body where you can see the unity of the Spirit working between families, in families and households of God. He wants you to confess him as Lord and Savior. The Scripture says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, which is to walk upright and justified by the word of God. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What must you believe? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch says. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Scripture tells us here unto baptism. Here, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Here unto baptism does now save us. Not the putting off the filth of the flesh, but the answer to a good conscience in the sight of God. God's adds you to his body, spiritual body, by you completing your act of obedience. This is the pool here. We showed our youth this morning. This is our pool here. They were amazed to see all this water. But we carry a lot of water here. Why? Because baptism more in Greek, is to totally submerge. You must go down in the watery grave of baptism. God performs operation on you, removing your sins that you may arise and walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is able to save and save you now. We're going to extend the invitation. If you're outside of Christ, this is your opportunity to become a member of the body of Christ, member of the family of God. And press on to the mark of the high calling. At this time, brothers will come before you. Please come on down. If you want to be baptized, this is an acceptable time. As the brothers, the invitation is extended.